And welcome to the Let's Talk About the Knowledge Podcast. I'm your host, the host. This week, we'll be talking about space, but more on the lines of, is there life that exists elsewhere in outer space? And a shout out to Joseph, a schoolmate of mine who came up with this idea. Space is an absolutely wild place. There are stars that are born, stars that die, planets collide, and black holes consume everything. It seems as if it's a place that life couldn't exist. But here I am talking to you, and you are listening. Earth is a sanctuary that protects us from the dangers of space. We wonder, are there more sanctuaries like ours where life could exist elsewhere? What if there is life in the universe? Recently, I had told you about the James Webb Space Telescope. And if you had listened to that episode, and I suggest you should if you hadn't listened to it, you might recall that one of the objectives of its mission was to seek out life in the universe, other than ours, in order to determine if a planet could harbor life or already harbors life. You need some crucial resources. There's a lot, but we'll be simplifying it in this episode. You would need water, specific elements from the periodic table, and an alive planet. We'll be talking about these three things. First is, water is needed in our bodies in order to maintain chemical reactions and as to act as a lubricant to all our joints. And water is how life began on Earth. Water is a universal solvent, meaning that it can dissolve most things that other liquids can't. And water encourages the bondings of different molecules. So that's how life came to being on Earth. Then we need elements. And I'm talking about the elements in the periodic table. Not all of these elements. On life on Earth, we need hydrogen, carbon, oxygen, phosphorus, potassium, sulfur, and plenty of other elements. But when making life, you need to have the right ingredients. It's like making a cake. When making a cake, you need the right ingredients. If you make it with petrol, rocks, and steel, I don't really think you could make a cake with those things. Essentially, if you are to form life, it's like making a cake or another pastry. Finally, to protect life from the hazards of space, you need a shield, a defense, a planet or a moon. If life is to form on a planet or a moon, it needs to be geologically active. To be geologically active means that in the inside it's heated and its core is churning. Well, why is that so important? Well, to protect the atmosphere of a planet or a moon, and to protect life from lethal radiation from outer space, you need a magnetosphere, which is like an invisible shield that protects us from the radiation of space. Well, now we got most of the basics of life. Now, what would be an example of alien life? Well, if we ever do find alien life, it would most likely be an extremophile. But first, what's an extremophile? Good question, and here in this podcast, we answer your questions. An extremophile is a form of life that lives in the absolute limits that any living beings could exist. For example, we have the tardigrade, or a water bear. And it doesn't look like a bear in any way, so I wonder why they call it that. Anyways, tardigrades have superpowers. They can survive droughts, which are long periods without water. They can outlast extreme heat and cold. They can survive the vacuum of space. Extremophiles are creatures that can live in the most extreme environments. An environment like ours is rare in the universe, and having a temperature like ours, liquid water, and an atmosphere like ours that is protected by a strong magnetosphere, we're incredibly lucky. But when it comes to alien planets, we would believe that most likely to be a more of an extreme environment. Now we know what alien life could most likely be. What would be an example of places that life could emerge? Most of us assume that it could just be planets. But what about moons? Because it doesn't have to be a planet in order to support life. It could be a moon around a gas giant, and the interior of the moon is heated up because the planet's gravity squishes its interior like a golf ball. Not a golf ball, but more of a baseball. Because of that, the squeezing makes friction, and friction causes heat. So even if the planet and its moon are far away from its star, it would still be warm, and would keep it just above 0 degrees Celsius, which means that there could be a presence of liquid water on its surface or underneath its surface. For example, on the moon of Enceladus, one of Saturn's moons, which is basically like a big snowball orbiting Saturn. For a long time, astronomers thought that Enceladus was an inactive moon with nothing particularly interesting, just a big ice ball. During the Cassini mission, which was an orbiter whose mission was to study the planet of Saturn, what astronomers found was astonishing, that Enceladus had geysers. And these geysers were coming from the southern poles of the moon. During the Cassini mission, they took some samples and found that the water coming from the geysers contained elements crucial to life. And it also meant that underneath the icy shell of Enceladus, there was a liquid ocean. And geysers are caused when hot water tries to push towards the surface. So that meant that Enceladus had heat coming from inside the moon. Or we could look at Titan, which looks like the young Earth. During the Cassini mission, Cassini dropped the famous Huygens lander, which tasted the surface of Titan and found elements necessary for life, which was amazing. And to add to it, on the surface of Titan, there were entire lakes, oceans, and rivers with liquid methane. But what about life outside of the solar system? Are there any oases in the universe? Thankfully, we have the Drake equation, made by Frank Drake of the SETI Institute. The main goal of the SETI Institute is to observe the universe for alien life. The Drake equation is simple. The universe that we can see is approximately 93 billion light years across. And there's a lot of stars in that area. Let's say there's about 30 billion trillion stars. And at least each of those stars have one planet. And one of those planets are habitable. And one of those habitable planets might have life. And those are big chances. And we have discovered other planets, or are also known as exoplanets. Some of these planets are potentially habitable. According to the NASA website, we did a little bit of research, and they have uncovered a lot of potentially habitable exoplanets. But we'll be only talking about a few. Kepler-22b is a good example of one. At a distance of 635 light years from the Earth, Kepler-22b is orbiting its star, which is Kepler-22. And it is at the distance where liquid water could exist. And it is a potential rocky planet like Earth. Then we have Kepler-452b, and is an exoplanet 1,799 light years from the Earth, and it's orbiting its star, Kepler-452. And it has potential liquid water on its surface. But let's say that in the future, we have discovered a technologically advanced, or maybe just today itself, we discovered another alien species like ours. Not an extremophile, or maybe an extremophile, but like ours. Or maybe a lot more. So how could we compare and sort all these civilizations in comparison to ours? Thankfully, we have the Kardashev scale, which was formulated by Nikolai Kardashev, who made this scale. The Kardashev scale organizes civilizations by their energy consumption, or in other words, how much energy they could harness. According to three sources, space.com, medium.com, and kidscud.com, there are three main categories to this scale. A type 1 civilization are when said civilization is able to harness all the energy in their home planet, which is a lot. And then type 2 civilizations are when said civilization can harness the energy of their entire solar system, which if we were type 2, we would be collecting all the energy from our solar system. Type 3, well, if any civilization ever reaches type 3, they would be incredibly powerful, harnessing all the energy of their entire galaxy. But the sad news is that we are 0.7 on the Kardashev scale, meaning we have not quite harnessed all the energy of the Earth. Life in the universe is an amazing thought, and at the time of this recording, sadly, we have not discovered any alien life. But if we ever do, it could reshape our understanding of life and the understanding of the universe. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. If you like this episode, please leave us a rating and a review, and don't forget to share this podcast with your friends and family. If you'd like to choose the next topic or get a shout out on the show, email us at letustalkabout@outlook.com. Goodbye and have an awesome day. And happy Easter.